Welcome to the Pat Williams Power Hour, AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word. This is your hour when Orlando Magic Senior Vice President Pat Williams sits down and speaks with authors who have written books on topics of interest and insight for listeners like you. And now, here's your host, Pat Williams.
Welcome again to the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour right here on AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word in Orlando. We're always so pleased when you join us. So is Pete Paquette, who's engineering for us. Andrew Herdliska does the producing of the show, and I want to introduce you to Jen Greenberg. She's in Houston. Her book is out, Defiant Joy. Find the hope to light your way, even in the darkness. Jen, welcome to Orlando. I hope you're well.
I am. Thank you so much, Pat.
What does defiant joy mean?
Well, defiant joy is finding joy in the Lord and experiencing God's joy and understanding joy from a scriptural perspective, despite and in defiance of how messed up this world is, you know, because there are so many tragic situations, stressful situations, and bad people who really try to steal our joy. And so having that defiant joy, seeking joy in the Lord and looking to God for our ultimate joy is really what this book is all about.
Your first topical is that word, inexplicable joy. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, when we look at the world around us, there is so much hardship, there's so much danger and sorrow. And so, you know, when we experience joy, you know, true joy, joy in the Lord, it does feel almost inexplicable. You know, people, there are situations where we genuinely should not be happy. And I think of this, you know, brave woman I know who, you know, she's suffering with chronic pain and chronic illness. And, you know, that this is not to say that she doesn't feel grief and that she doesn't feel fear or sorrow or even, you know, frustration and anger that she's going through all these things. But she does have this inexplicable joy, and it's inexplicable from a worldly standpoint. And until we realize, you know, until we understand the love of God and how God is our joy and how God has promised us joy and peace in heaven forever, that sort of joy really is inexplicable from a human standpoint.
The next topic I want you to expand on is simply the joy of the Lord. Explain that.
Yes. Well, you know, it's so funny. Like a lot of times when I have been having a hard time, whether it's been, you know, dealing with depression or some kind of, you know, day-to-day struggles in life or something really profoundly hard. Like, for example, I grew up with domestic violence in my home and child abuse. And so I've dealt with some really severe hardship in my life. And every so often, you know, a Christian, well-intentioned, will kind of try to put a Band-Aid on it by saying, you know, cheer up. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I always found that to be really unhelpful, you know, just kind of a platitude. And so I decided, as I was writing this book, I decided, well, let's dig into the Word of God. Let's figure out what is the joy of the Lord and why is it our strength? And what I learned is that that phrase actually derives from the book of Nehemiah. The prophet Nehemiah was telling the people of God, the Hebrews, the Israelites, you know, stop crying, stop weeping, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. But the thing is, if you look at that Bible verse, that chapter, that book, back in Nehemiah, the reason the people of God were weeping is because they were repenting of their sins. They realized that they had sinned, that they had rebelled against God, and that they caused this terrible separation between themselves and God because they had broken his laws. And so the reason they were weeping was not because they were going through a divorce or they lost their job or they were struggling with, you know, sickness or financial issues. And maybe they were going through some of those things. But the reason Nehemiah specifically told them to stop weeping is he was saying, don't weep over your sins anymore, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And what that means in context is that the joy, or that it was God's joy to give his people the strength to weep, the power to repent. He enabled them and strengthened them to see their sins, acknowledge their weakness, and genuinely be sorrowful over it. And then it was God's joy to forgive them. And so when we say the joy of the Lord is your strength, we're talking about the Lord's joy, God's joy. It's not our joy. You know, we might be going through the most horrible situation in the world, but it is God's joy to strengthen us, to forgive us, and to love us. And it gives him great joy to know that we are going to be with him forever in heaven. And that's what it means in Hebrews when it says that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Jesus was not joyful on that cross. He was suffering terribly, but he knew, and it gave him great joy to know that there was joy set before him in heaven. And because he knew that he was going to be with us in heaven, he was able to endure profound suffering and die for our sins because he loves us. And so it gives him joy to save us.
My guest in Houston, Texas, Jen Greenberg, we're talking about her book, Defiant Joy. I want you to talk about thieves of joy, Jen.
Oh, yes. You know, there are so many thieves of joy in our lives, but the ones I specifically focus on in the book is thieves such as legalism. For example, when we think that it's our job to follow God's law perfectly, to earn God's love, to merit our salvation or somehow deserve our salvation, because what that does is it puts a huge burden on us to do all the right things and be perfect when Jesus Christ has already been perfect for us. And, you know, obviously I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive to obey God and to please God, but we can also rest and find great relief and comfort in the knowledge that he has already fulfilled his law for us. He loves us, he accepts us, and he will make us perfect in heaven. And so, you know, when we have these big weights on us, like when we're afraid that, you know, we're going to make God angry or that maybe God will change his mind about us and decide, you know what, that gal Jennifer, she's just a bit too messed up for me. I don't think I'm going to save her after all. God's not like that. He is faithful. And so we can rest knowing that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how well we feel we measure up or we really do measure up, Jesus measured up for us. And so we can let go of that burden and rest in the joy of knowing that God's got us.
Tell me about fumbling for faith. That's your fourth topic, Jen. You're going to have to unravel that one for us.
Yes. Well, so often in my life, especially when I was going through a really dark time, I could not feel faith as an emotion. You know, I felt afraid. I felt lost. You know, that Jesus talks about the wandering sheep, the lamb who wanders out into the wilderness, and the shepherd he leaves the 99 and he goes searching for that lost lamb. And you know, I have been that lost lamb, and I think most of us have been. And one of the things I love about that parable is that it never tells us why the lamb is lost. It never tells us why it wandered away from the pasture. Maybe the lamb was sinful and the lamb was ungrateful and it left. Or maybe the grass really looked greener on the other side and so it was tricked into leaving. Or maybe there were wolves in the pasture or sheep that bite, you know? And so that lamb got scared and that lamb felt unloved and unsafe. And so it ran away out of fear. Regardless, Jesus is our faithful shepherd and he seeks out his lost lambs because he is faithful. And so there have been times in my life when I was looking for faith and fumbling for faith in the darkness and trying to muster up faith as if faith is something that I can accomplish in and of myself. But what I've learned is that the reason that I can be a faithful believer, the reason that I can keep my faith, the reason that my faith keeps on going is because I have a faithful shepherd who keeps bringing me back and who keeps track of me and who's got his arms around me and he's carrying me on his shoulders. And, you know, so that fumbling for faith, that searching for faith, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter how lost or far away from God you may feel, no matter what you're going through, we can rest in the knowledge that Jesus is faithful, meaning that he is full of faith and he gives us faith.
My guest in Houston, Texas, Jen Greenberg. We're talking about her book, Defiant Joy, Find the Hope to Light Your Way Even in the Darkness. We've got to pause for a break here. When we come back, Jen is going to dive into learning to rest in God's promises, and she's going to talk to us about faith substitutes, and then an interesting topic called Here I Am. She'll talk about God in the darkness. She'll talk to us about tears of rage. This is the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. It's AM 990, FM 101.5, The Word in Orlando. We'll be right back.
More of the Pat Williams Hour in just a moment. AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word. You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour. AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word. Now, here's Pat.
Jen Greenberg is our guest from Houston, Texas. Her book, Defiant Joy. And Jen, as I mentioned before the break, tell us about faith substitutes. What's that mean?
Yeah, you know, as believers, I think we're often desperate to feel faith or maybe even look like we have really strong faith. And, you know, a lot of times that's not honest. Sometimes we feel fear, and sometimes we don't have all our ducks in a row. At least I know I don't. And so we put up these faith substitutes. You know, sometimes that looks like mustering up the courage. Sometimes that looks like putting on your Instagram smile, you know, or your nice church clothes because you want to look like a really good Christian, even though you're struggling on the inside. So one of the things I talk about in my book is, you know, what is biblical faith? Where does faith really come from? And what I've learned in my life is that faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's not something that we can fake. It's not something we can dress up as. It's not a feeling we can muster if we, you know, faith really hard or pray really hard or smile really hard. It's a gift from God. And one of the things that I would encourage you, you know, if any of our listeners ever feel like, you know, I'm going through a really scary situation, maybe I'm, you know, facing financial difficulties or sickness, or maybe I'm just lonely and sad, and I don't feel like I have faith, I would encourage you, ask God to give you faith, because he absolutely will.
I want you to tell us about this statement, here I am.
Yes. You know, one of the things that that I've learned in life, and this fits in with another chapter title, the down and up. And what I've learned is that Jesus always shows up for us in our lives. You know, I've felt this in my own life where, you know, for example, my husband last year lost his job during a company restructuring. He was laid off. And, you know, it was a scary time. We've got three kids, you know, who are in a good school. We've got a church we love, a community we feel safe and comfortable in. And so there was this time of limbo when it was like, okay, God, you know, where are we going to be this time next year? When are you going to provide, you know, income and, you know, employment and stability? But over and over in my life, Jesus has showed up and said, here I am. And, you know, we see this in the Bible. For example, when Peter was walking on the water and he looks down at his own two feet, you know, I think what happened with Peter is he really wanted to have strong faith. He really wanted to impress Jesus. And he really thought that he could walk on the water by himself, that he could muster up the faith. And as soon as he looked down at his own two feet, he realized, there's no way. I am not stronger than these waves. I am not bigger than this ocean and this storm. I'm not more powerful than this storm. And so Peter began to sink because he was relying on his own strength. But, you know, Jesus says, here I am. I am with you. And he pulls Peter back up out of that water. And over in my life, Jesus has said, here I am. And so throughout my life, you know, one of the things that's truly strengthened my faith is that repeated pattern, that exercise of me falling down and Jesus pulling me back up and just learning that pattern, that down and up, and learning by experience that God is always going to be there. And so, you know, one of the things that, especially for new believers, but also for, you know, veteran Christians, you know, I would just encourage you, if you want to know for sure that God's got you, just look at how he's rescued you in the past, how he has saved you in the past, and know that he is faithful and he will do it again.
Now explain God in the darkness to us, Jen.
Oh, you know, this world, if there is a really good word to describe this world, it is dark. You know, if it were not for Jesus Christ, we would be hopeless. And if it were not for Jesus sustaining my faith through hardship, I know that I would have lost my faith 1,000 times over. But we have a God who walks with us through the darkness. He is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death, as it says in Psalm 23. And so, you know, we can take great comfort knowing that this world is not all there is. You know, no matter what we may be going through, you know, I've endured child abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, church abuse. I've endured PTSD. You know, that's something that I thought that only soldiers who've, you know, fought in war, it's something that they experience. You know, I never imagined that I would experience something like that. But what I've really learned is that this world, the struggles I've been through, it's really a kind of war. There is spiritual war that we endure. And so I struggled through PTSD. But we have a God who walks with us through the darkness. We have a Savior who has suffered. And because he has suffered, he can empathize with our every struggle. And so when we suffer, we can take comfort and even take joy knowing that we can relate on a personal level with the God who created the universe. And that is a profound and mind-blowing blessing. We have a Savior who has scars. He knows what it's like to suffer.
And now I want you to talk about tears of rage.
That, you know, was probably one of the most challenging topics in my book. Because, you know, so often I think in Christian circles, we think of anger as being, you know, dangerous and even sinful. You know, we've been told, what's the verse? There's a verse that's commonly misused. It's slipping my mind right now. But we're often told that being angry is sinful. And what I would encourage, you know, our listeners to think about is that Jesus got angry too. He got angry at false teachers. He got angry at the money changers in the temple, at people who were taking advantage of God's people and God's children. And, you know, Jesus even tells us that, you know, if anyone causes one of these little ones, meaning one of these little children that he was blessing, that he was holding in his lap, if anyone causes one of them to so much as stumble, it would be better for that person to have a millstone tied around his neck and be thrown into the sea than face the wrath of Jesus Christ on the last day. And so there are good reasons to be angry. If you ever feel angry over sin, over evil, you know that God is angry too. And one of the things that I've learned, especially as an abuse survivor, is that I can actually let go of my anger. I can unclench my heart, so to speak, because I know that Jesus can carry my anger for me. He can be angry for me over injustice and over sin and evil and unrepentant abuse. Because he is holy and he is justice and he knows and remembers every sin ever committed against me, every tear I've ever cried. And so I can rest knowing that Jesus is just and that he will give me justice.
Now, and just a reminder, folks, my guest is Jen Greenberg from Houston. We're talking about her book, Defiant Joy, Find the Hope to Light Your Way, Even in the Darkness. At the end of the book, part three, down and up.
Yes. Yeah, and I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but, you know, it's one of the wonderful ways that God grows us in our lives is that he teaches us by experience to rely on him. You just think about this, you know, in our human experience, you know, we see things and we know that they're there. We can feel things. We can hug our spouse. We can hold the hand of our child. We can feel the floor beneath our feet. And so we trust these things that we can see, that we can touch, that we can hear, that we can physically feel. And so sometimes it's really hard to trust God because we can't see God. We can't touch God. You know, one of the things that you know, Thomas struggled with doubt, you know, as we so often do. And that's why Jesus said, well, reach out your hand. Touch my hands. Touch my scars. Touch my side. Hold on to me physically. And know that I am real, that I've risen from the dead. You know, so Thomas was able to touch Jesus, to physically feel Jesus. We're unable, at least in this life, until Jesus comes back, and hopefully that's soon, we are unable to do that. And so it's very difficult sometimes to trust God. And what I've learned is that God actually teaches us by experience. So, for example, one of the ways we learn is, you know, I can turn on a light switch and I expect the lights to come on because they always have before.
Jen Greenberg has been our guest. And what a guest she's been, talking about defiant joy. Find the hope to light your way, even in the darkness. Stay with us. We've got more on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. It's AM 990. FM 101.5, The Word in Orlando. We will return.
More of the Pat Williams Hour in just a moment. AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour. AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. Now, here's Pat.
Jen Greenberg, our guest in that first segment, talking about her book, Defiant Joy, Find the Hope to Light Your Way, Even in the Darkness. Well, Jen was in Houston. We go from Houston to Nashville, Tennessee. And there's Dr. Robert Morgan, author of Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. Robert, wonderful to catch up with you. I hope things are well, and thanks for joining me.
Yes, things are well, and I'm so glad to be with you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Robert, you open your book with this chapter, Trust God's Guidance When Perplexed, Acts 16. I want to hear about this.
Well, this is the story of Paul the Apostle when he went to the city of Philippi. My book, Whatever Happens, is really drawn out of the book of Philippians in the Bible. And when Paul left his sending church in Antioch, he kept going all the way westward across Turkey, 1,000 miles, and he had no open doors. Everything was closed to him for 1,000 miles. But he kept trusting God, and he finally got as far as he could go, and that's when the Lord told him what to do. And I've found in my life that for every one thing the Lord wants me to do, there may be 1,000 things he doesn't want me to do. And the closed doors we encounter are as much a blessing as the open doors. Sometimes we get discouraged because our girlfriend has dumped us, or our job promotion didn't work out, or some other disappointment came into our life. But when we are in God's will, we always look back with a sense of gratitude for the closed doors, because they were simply saving us from something God didn't want, so that we would have the full provision of what he did plan for us.
Next topic, build your own mental hymn book, still in Acts 16.
Yes, when Paul and Silas got to Philippi, they were beaten and imprisoned, and at midnight they were singing hymns of praise to God. And they didn't have any words projected on the screen. They didn't have any hymn books with them. They were being held fast in the stocks, but they had enough words of enough songs within them so that they could sing. And I love today's contemporary Christian music, but the songs don't last very long. We don't get them down into our long-term memories, but the great hymns of the faith that we sing all of our lives, those are the ones that go down into our long-term memories. When my wife, Katrina, was passing away, she began quoting the verse of a hymn, and it was one that she had sung all of her life. So I encourage people, both with the new music and the old music, to make sure that they are inscribing the words of some wonderful songs in their hearts so that they can sing them in the night.
Robert Morgan is our guest. Whatever Happens, Layer Your Life with Generosity, Philippians 1:1, Robert.
Yes, and so the story of the establishing of the Philippian church began with a very wealthy lady named Lydia, and the next person converted was a slave girl, and then there was a jailer and some prisoners converted, and from that point on, wherever Paul went, they supported him. And the church in Philippi became the New Testament model for a generous church. Paul said to the Corinthians, you've heard about the grace of the churches of Macedonia, and that was primarily the church in Philippi, how they have given and given and given. And the Lord blessed them because of their generosity. And there's a lesson for us there. We're prone to be hoarders, every one of us. But the great blessing of being able to be generous is that we are supporting things beyond ourselves, things that will affect the entire world, just like the Philippians did for Paul. So there are lessons, really, in every verse here of Philippians.
You're still in Philippians with the next topic, Robert. Rely on revitalizing grace. What's that mean?
The Apostle Paul began by saying, "Peace and grace be with you." And he prayed for them, and he prayed grace into their lives. And we need to have a revitalization every day. We wake up on some days and the weather is dreary. We wake up on other days and the weather is sunny. And the same thing happens with our personalities. Some days we wake up and we feel dreary. Other days we wake up and we feel sunny. But regardless of how we wake up, we can take control of our attitudes. We can draw from God's revitalizing grace. And Pat, just this morning in my daily Bible reading, I came to the verse that says, "Blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us with benefits." So every day we need that revitalizing grace that allows us to go into the day with a cheerful, hopeful, joyful, optimistic attitude.
Robert, remember, God is still working on you. Philippians 1.
Isn't that a wonderful, yes, a wonderful thought. It's from Philippians 6, 1, and it says, "The one who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." So, and there's another verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, "The word of God is working in you." And, of course, the Holy Spirit works within us. So for those of us who are Jesus followers, we have every day God working and building and constructing and renovating and improving our lives. He does it by His Spirit. He does it by His Word. He isn't finished with us. And there is never a point in our lives when we are in God's will that we aren't better in some way than we were the day, the week, and the month before.
Philippians 1, 9 through 11, invigorate your life through prayer.
We think sometimes that prayer is a drudgery, something we have to do. But Paul, here in the book of Philippians, as he approached God for the Philippians, it was as though he were approaching a king, as if he were walking into the White House or into Buckingham Palace and sitting down and having tea with a head of state. And we need to think of prayer in that way. Our prayers can do a great deal of good, but when we pray with drudgery, then not so much. When we recognize that we're in the presence of a king, then we can pray with the kind of intimate fellowship that truly leaves us invigorated and rejuvenated through the experience.
Robert Morgan has written the book, Whatever Happens. Robert, next topic. Replace gloomy thoughts with glorious ones. Philippians 1:12.
This is when Paul said, "I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have turned out rather for the furtherance of the gospel." Now, the things that had happened to him were all dismal things. He had been arrested. He had caused a riot. He had nearly been flogged. He had been imprisoned for 2 years. He had been shipwrecked. He had been bitten by a snake. He had finally been imprisoned in Rome where he was awaiting trial. All of those gloomy things had happened to him, but he had a very optimistic attitude. He said, you know, God was in control of all of this. He knew what was happening, and all of these things have encouraged the spread of the gospel. He said, I'm able now to evangelize Roman soldiers who are guarding me, and they're going into all of the empire with the message of the gospel. And he said, I'm able to encourage other Christians by my imprisonment, and they're standing up and preaching. So instead of interpreting his gloomy thoughts or his gloomy actions or circumstances with a gloomy perspective, he really had glorious thoughts about them. The Lord helped him to see that all of those things were working out for good, and we can do the same with our own circumstances.
Robert, tell me about access God's provision of the Spirit of Christ.
Paul has a wonderful phrase. He is writing from house arrest. He maybe is under a deeper form of imprisonment than that when he's writing this letter. But he told the Philippians, he said, I know that all of this is going to work for my deliverance through your prayers and through the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Now, we have the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim Christian, he saw a fire that was burning in a fireplace, but the devil was there trying to throw cold water on it. But the fire was never quenched because from a secret source behind the fireplace, there was a constant supply of oil. Well, the devil tries to quench everything that we're doing, but we have the secret source of the Holy Spirit, and it keeps the fire burning in our hearts. That's the provision of the Spirit, and that's what kept Paul going.
Next topic. Choose a life mate. Philippians 1:20.
A life motto, yes.
A life motto. I'm sorry. I guess choose a mate as well as a motto.
Well, a mate can be a tremendous help. A motto can also be of a tremendous help. When I was in college, I chose a motto for my life: the will of God, nothing more, nothing less. But Paul's motto here was in Philippians 1:21. He said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And very interestingly, in the Greek language which Paul wrote, it actually said, to live, Christos, to die, kerdos. It had this alliterative rhyming nature, as though it were something that, you know, he would put on a plaque. And there's no better motto in life than recognizing that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's a motto that any person can adopt right now in their own lives.
Dr. Robert Morgan is our guest. We've got less than a minute before the break, Robert. Tell us about never be intimidated.
Well, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or only hear about you, I know that you are standing firm and no way intimidated by those who are opposing you. This is not a time for believers and Jesus followers to be intimidated by our culture. God must give us the courage, and he will, to stand up to the winds that are prevailing against us.
Robert... Folks, Dr. Robert Morgan is our guest. Whatever Happens, the name of his book. We got to take a break, and when we come back, the next topic, make today about others. I'm Pat Williams. It's the Saturday Power Hour, AM 950, FM 101.5, the Orlando. We'll be right back.
More of the Pat Williams Hour in just a moment, AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour, AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. Now, here's Pat.
Dr. Robert Morgan has joined us from Nashville, Tennessee. His book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. And the next topic for you, Robert, make today about others.
The whole concept of others is a big concept in the book of Philippians. Paul said that when we give ourselves to others, when we recognize their needs, when we put their interest even in front of our own, then we are truly acting in a Christ-like way. And the biblical definition of love is meeting the needs of somebody else. Love may have emotions, but it primarily shows itself in actions. So we see somebody with a need, and we maybe even secretly, but sometimes we're not able to do it secretly, but we move to meet the need of someone else. We make it about others. Then that is having the mind of Christ. It is living a Christ-like life, and that comes back in blessings for us.
I want you to talk about this topic. Work out what God works in, Philippians 2.
That's a wonderful verse. The Apostle Paul said in that chapter of Philippians that we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he had said in chapter 1, as we've already talked about, Pat, that it is God who works within us, that he who has begun a good work in us will carry it on to completion. And then in chapter 2, he goes on to say, work out your salvation. In other words, he doesn't say work for your salvation, but work out what God is working in. So we're sort of like waterfalls. The presence and the grace and the truth of God pours into our lives, and then it fl- flows out from us to other people, and we work out what God is working in.
Robert, shine like a star in the blackened sky. We're still in Philippians 2.
This is where the Apostle Paul says that he wants us to be agents of light, holding out the word of life and shining like stars in the blackened sky. Now, if you go to a place where you can see the stars and the light isn't so great, you know, that fades out the light of the stars, then it's amazing how many galaxies and constellations you can see. The whole night sky that is so black is dotted with these beautiful twinkling lights. And that's the biblical picture of what we're to be in this very dark world. We have a light within us that is shining like a light bulb. It's the truth of Jesus Christ, and we're to go through this world casting that light on others. And, you know, the world is very dark right now. The only lights there are in this dark world are Jesus followers who are walking around all over the earth. So we've got to do our job and shine our lights.
And then you write, stay as cheerful as possible. Philippians 2:19.
Yes, the sub-theme of Philippians is joy. And the word joy or rejoicing occurs 16 times in the little four chapters of Philippians. And we have to make up our minds to be cheerful. It's an attitude that God wants us to have. He gives us the permission to be happy in life. He wants us to be happy. And so the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. So, you know, if someone is listening today and they're downhearted, they're downcast, then listen to the voice of the Lord in Scripture saying today, be happy, trust me, and rejoice in the Lord. We can't always rejoice in our load, but we can always rejoice in our Lord.
Stay as cheerful as possible. Philippians 2 again.
Yes, this is the theme that Paul introduces in chapter 1. It goes all the way through chapter 4, and it's very important to be cheerful, to have a happy attitude. Now, this is something I've had to learn. I grew up with a melancholic personality. I was easily depressed, but the more I've studied the subject of cheerfulness and joy and happiness in the Bible, it's had a tremendous effect on me. And if someone listening to this is downcast today, they can open their New Testament to the very middle, go through the book of Philippians, and circle every time the words rejoicing or joy or cheerfulness occurs, and it will have an immediate effect. It'll be like therapy to them.
Next topic, never think of quitting.
Well, the Apostle Paul said that he wasn't going to quit, forgetting what is behind. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you. You've been a man that's never quit. You've been known for your resilience, Pat. And I want to be the same way. There's not a place for retirement from doing what God has called us to do. Our vocational lives may shift, but every morning we should wake up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And there's never a day when he doesn't have an agenda for us, and never a day when we don't have the strength to do what he wants us to do or to bear the burdens that he allows. So we go on in the strength of the Lord, and every day with Jesus is better than the day before.
Learn the techniques of spiritual self-defense. What's that mean, Robert?
I think this brings us back to the idea of joy. In chapter 3, Paul said, I'm writing these things to you again, especially the theme, rejoice in the Lord. It is not difficult for me to do this, but for you, it is a safeguard. So he says that the safeguard for our souls is joy. When we learn to rejoice in the Lord, it's like a shield. The devil has a hard time doing anything with a cheerful Christian. When he finds people who are sort of down and out, then he can do a lot with them. But when we have that cheerful joy of the Lord in our heart, then it's very difficult for the devil to do anything with us. And a cheerful attitude protects us from despondency, despair, pessimism, giving up. It keeps us from being in a state where we'll be easily tempted. It keeps the devil and his demonic forces at bay. So one of the best ways of safeguarding the soul is to adopt the cheerful attitude that the Bible prescribes for us.
Robert, I'm going to jump ahead because I don't want to run out of time. I'm jumping up to chapter 25 because this is such an important part of my life. Improve your mental chemistry. Philippians 4:8-9. What are you telling us here?
You know, Pat, you've been a champion on this for many, many years. What Paul the Apostle said in chapter 4, and it goes right along with the whole aspect of positive thinking and joyful living, is whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is right, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. In other words, train your mind to dwell and to meditate on things that reflect the character and the person and the joy and the purity of God. Train your mind to meditate on Scripture. When you have the Bible in your mind, and I'm an advocate for Scripture memory, I'm working on a verse right now, trying to memorize it, then when you go to sleep, you can think about that verse. When you wake up, you can think about it. When you drive in your truck or car, you can meditate on that instead of watching the news 24 hours a day, which depresses us. We should find out what's going on in the world and then turn the news off and think about things that are, well, that reflect the beauty and the nobility of Scripture. And as we learn to talk to ourselves and preach to ourselves and to be positive in our thinking, then our brains are improved. I mean, our very brains and the brain waves we have inside of our skulls, all of that is improved in our thoughts, our chemistry. It's we become healthier people. It's therapeutic. And I would just like to ask you, because this has been something you've championed for years, this resonates with you too, doesn't it, Pat?
Oh, well, that verse I have learned, well, let me put it this way. Satan is constantly attacking our brains. He wants to plant thoughts that shouldn't be there. And you never know when he's going to attack. And when he does, I just yell at him. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. And I hit him with that verse. And he doesn't want to mess with that. And my mind gets cleared. It's remarkable.
Oh, I love that. I wish I'd talked to you before. I would have put that as an illustration in the book. That is so good.
Satan's prime attack is our brains, Tim, Robert. That's where he loves to work on us. I'll be driving along or something, and all of a sudden a thought will come up from something I did or some experience from 60 years ago. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? It just popped into my head. I don't want that in my head. And that's where Philippians 4:8 comes in. I'm constantly using that to remind Satan to leave my brain alone, because I'm gonna come right back at him with Philippians 4:8. That's why I wanted you to do it, Robert. One more right behind that: discover the secret to contentment. Philippians 4:10-13. Can you do that one for us?
Absolutely. We can all learn to be content. We have to know what contentment is. And the way that I define it is quiet joy. It's not necessarily exuberant, loud joy like the finale of a fireworks display, but it's that quiet joy that's like the purring of a cat or the fire in the fireplace or a cup of tea on a rainy afternoon. And Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content. And the secret of being content, he says in the next verse, is that I can do this in all things through Christ who gives me strength. So even though our conditions may not be what we want, or our circumstances may not be what we desire, with the Lord Jesus Christ inside of us, he gives us a quiet joy, and he teaches us to be content whatever the circumstances. And that is so needful in our world today. It's similar to the verse that says, be still and know that I'm God. We need that quietness, that contentment, that stillness today that only comes from the Lord.
Dr. Robert Morgan has written an important book, Whatever Happens. It's an amazing look at the book of Philippians. We're so glad that he's been with us. Well, folks, that's it for today. The Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour is over until next week. So come back and visit with us here at AM 990, FM 101.5, The Word in Orlando. Have a great week ahead. God bless you, and we'll see you next weekend.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the Pat Williams Power Hour. Join us again next week at this time, where faith comes by hearing. AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word.